It's been reported that the government's got an upcoming budget deficit, which is going to be $2.7 billion worth in forecast. And this is all because of the transport asset holding entity. How is this changing the way the budget is framed?
Yeah, it's a really good question. And interestingly, it hasn't actually changed anything recently. This is actually part of a change which took place about 5 or 6 years ago and was disclosed in the 2015-16 budget papers at the time. They even had, I'm looking at them right now, they actually explained at that point in time what the change was and how it would positively impact the budget figures at that point in time and over the forward estimates, which would keep rolling through as you get into the years that we are now. So, I mean, it hasn't been something which has just suddenly sprung up, and they've been quite open about it for those that want to go digging into budget papers like myself.
Yes. Opposition hopeful Michael Daly is calling it a black hole that is going to affect the budget. What is the effect on the budget?
Yeah, so what's really important is the scope of what the budget is. To break it down, this public sector in New South Wales is composed of three different areas. So there's the general government sector, so things like the Department of Education. There are the public trading enterprise sector, and these are things like Sydney Water Corporation, the SCG Trust, and as of 2015, the Transport Asset Holding Entity. And the third sort of arm of the public sector is the public financial enterprise sector, so things like New South Wales Treasury Corporation. So what becomes important in all of that is that the scope of the budget is the general government sector. So when you're looking at sort of revenues and sort of inflows and outflows, you're very much looking at the GGS. Now, what happened with the transport asset holding entity is that as of the 1st of July 2015, it came into effect, and they sort of shifted things from the general government sector, where it was kind of within the scope of the budget, to the public trading enterprise sector where the transport asset holding entity sits, so kind of outside the scope of the budget.
So is that what Yes Prime Minister would have termed a quango?
Is it a
quasi-government trading thing? Or
Yeah, it is. And look, and there's good reason. I mean, the Opera House is one of these as well. So it's not like these, completely secret squirrel type of organisations. But where it becomes important and the impact to why you see a kind of, budget bottom line effect is that when it's the money that they were paying to RailCorp to deliver their capital program, all that money that was being sort of spent by government for RailCorp, these were classified as recurrent grants, and these were accounted for as expenses in the budget statement. So that's what would push, your surplus lower or your deficit worse. When these things, when it changed to this public trading enterprise sector organization, these aren't grants anymore. What they are, they term them capital injections. So in effect, the government is investing in these organizations, so they don't count for it as an expense. It becomes an investment in the organization. You see it pop up on the balance sheet of sort of the government sector, but you don't see it affect, that budget bottom line, sort of the revenues and expenses. So the money's still being spent. It's just to change classification, and it avoids the sort of surplus deficit part of the equation.
Oh, right. So if it's kind of a bit like if you're in a business and you, instead of having something as an expense, you make it an asset.
Yeah, effectively that's what's going on. They're saying we have invested in these organisations, and then the organisations themselves will be spending money on doing what they're doing. So, yeah, to your point, that's right. Now, there's other parts still where they hope to get dividends and, an income stream. The government hopes, having invested in these organisations, they will be able to then get dividend streams and, money coming back to them. There has been some reports about, if you're reading in the press recently, there's been some discussion about, how likely this is. I can't really speak to that because I don't have the inner workings, inner knowledge of these things. That's the idea, is that they've invested in these organisations and at some point they'll get some sort of return.
So Michael Daly's asking for an upper house inquiry. Would that be warranted?
Why now versus why 5 or 6 years ago? I mean, look, that is a very political question. I mean, obviously you've got a change in, well, there will be a change in the leadership of New South Wales Labor Party as to who takes over. That's you know, up to the party, I'd imagine. And they may be trying to put some heat on the government to kind of point to sort of issues in terms of their economic credibility. But why now? Why not 5 or 6 years ago?
Is there anything that looks fishy about this?
But on the face of just a general change, if it's done for sound reason, as I said, there are lots of different organisations that within the government, the public sector, which are treated like this. So in as of itself, no. But again, obviously, there's the devil will always be in the detail with these sort of things.
The basis behind all of this really is the government is saying we want to present a budget with stuff that's recurrent, the things that we're going to be spending in the upcoming year and with projections for the years beyond that. But anything that we're investing in for, you know, long-term investment, we want to keep that out of the budget. Is that sort of what this is about?
Kind of. I mean, they're arguing, and this is just reading off the text, and granted, this is from the organisation, you know, from the government who's doing this. One of the stated reasons for doing this, setting this up, was public transport assets will in time be managed on a portfolio basis, generating greater efficiencies and synergies. Now, I mean, obviously there's a lot of management speak in that, but they're hoping that, you know, they'll be able to cut costs, perform better. That's an open question as to whether that's happened over the last 5 or 6 years in terms of Rail Corp. It's not something I've personally looked at all that much, apart from, you know, being a train user on the times that I need to go to work, which given working from home, I haven't had to go to the office all that much. But yeah, there's nothing specific around why this would be an issue in as of itself. The key point, I suppose, is the figures currently are consistent in terms of their treatment as to what they, in this respect, I mean, other things may have changed, but in this respect, they're consistent in their treatment as to how they were last year and the year before that and the year before that. So to the extent that you can use any sort of figures right at the moment is comparable to recent previous years, you can. So it's not suddenly like they've made this big change and they're trying to hide something quite recently. And when they did this, they were very clear and transparent about the effects. They were very clear about this is what the result would have been before we made this change, and this is the result after we made this change. And so they're very open about that. So to my mind, it is a shift, but it's all reconciled.